Well, hey, Gundam Maniacs, welcome to the Gundam Explained Show Live. I'm your host, Adam Blue, and you know how it is. Those in chat, if you notice anything technically wrong, just, you know, let me know. I set some things up to hopefully fix some of the issues we have been having, because today we have a cool episode. You know, I mean, we've got Steven. I mean, Steven's always here. Hey, Steven, hi.
Not always, but you know.
But we also got a special guest, Jordan Baza Olson. And yes, if you check the link in the description right below, it's her Instagram channel, The Girl with a Great Smile. How's it going?
Good, good. Glad to be here. Excited to nerd out with a different fandom for today.
Yeah, I know. Me too. Yeah, so it was cool because as soon as we popped into the little pre-room here, like the background, we saw the Epion cosplay and we're like, okay, that's cool. Cause I have photos of that I want to look at, because that's pretty cool. So
yeah.
Well, and I was about to tease Adam about this being like X-Men Explained now, because obviously, you know, we don't even talk about Gundam. It's like
No, that's the other funny thing. Yeah, the X-Men stuff that we could talk about. Yeah. Because cool X-Men cosplay, and you're an X-Men fan. Would you say you're a bigger X-Men or Gundam fan?
I would say that I'm in my X-Men era.
Oh, okay. That's a good way to put it.
Yeah, the last few years, even with the Witch from Mercury, I was leaning more towards X-Men because I feel like I did my Gundam era for a few years, and you'll see with the different cosplays. But yeah.
Okay, that's cool. That is cool. Well, yeah,
we'll have different arcs.
Yes.
I liked that, because that's kind of what I feel like too sometimes. It's like the different things. But we're going to talk a little bit more about that. Also, I saw the Gundam Seed Freedom movie, so I'm going to give some impressions on that a little later. First, I like to start out with this, like, if there's anything Gundam related you got into this week. I'll start with Steven.
Oh, man, what did I do this week? I don't think I did anything Gundam related this week. I was supposed to go to Seed Freedom. Yeah, it's not. No, I guess this is my video game programming arc.
Okay. There you
but,
go.
Cool. Yeah.
No, it happens. It happens.
Yeah, like I said, you know, I wanted to see Seed Freedom and just totally dropped the ball. I was on babysitting duty, so.
No, I get it. Yeah, that happens. Yeah, I know. Jordan, what about you? Just preparing for this, I guess?
Yeah, this, but also one of my favorite Gunpla builders, Perfect Grade Pete, posted a new thing that he just finished. And it's, I can't remember the name, but it just looks so awesome. And I feel like I need to make it. It's Supreme Model Glory MG Stargazer Gundam.
Oh, sweet.
Yeah.
Perfect Grade Pete?
Yeah, Perfect Grade Pete on Instagram.
Okay. Okay, I'll have to check that out then. Yeah, I'll save that here.
Well, and there was that announcement this week about the reissue of the 45th anniversary, like, original Gundam. That came out in 1980, but that's, like, you know, it's got the wonky proportions and kind of...
Oh, wow.
I'm
is it something to
that.
Buy? Is it something to buy? Is that what it is?
Yeah. It's supposed to be coming out. I don't know what the release date is on it. But
yeah, you know. No, I don't either. No, that it. Well, yeah. Thinking of talking about things to buy. I did a little too much shopping. Well, these were pre-orders, so I guess it doesn't count.
Oh, no.
But there's that the guinea pig or Yukijima GM, which is pretty sweet. And these are the robot spirits, so, like, they're not the model kits, so it's not like I made these. And then the GM Sniper, which looks pretty cool. And then this one's my favorite. I was excited about this one, but the Veranime Titans Mark II.
Ooh. Now, which marking is that on the shoulder that you've got?
Three.
Oh, see, I've got the two because I wanted the Chakracon.
Wait a minute. Is that the same one?
No, that's my high grade.
Oh, I was about to say, your first robot spirits.
Come on, you think I would buy a Titan suit as my first robot spirits?
Yeah, I guess true, yeah. No, but, cool. Yeah, and then I guess the only other thing I got into is, I saw the Seed Freedom movie. I'll talk about that a little later. But spoiler alert, it was cool. So, but yeah, no, let's talk about, yeah, Jordan, how did you get into Gundam in the first place?
So like I was bragging earlier, back in the 70s, so I was still in the Philippines with my family, and there was something in the media about some mecha show. I remember Space Cruiser Yamato. I remember Robotech. And then there was something called Gundam. But I didn't really get into it until it was released here in the U.S. when we moved to the U.S. And it wasn't cool to like Gundam by that time, at least for my age. Like I mentioned earlier, I'm a lot older than everyone. But I was entering a time of, it's not cool to play with toys anymore. But I was loving the anime. So only back in 2011, 2012, is when I saw a couple of, what is it called? The Mecha Girls, the Gundam Girl design.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. I don't know what those are called, but I know what you're talking about. Yeah.
I think it's Gundam Girl. Yeah.
Yeah, so when I saw those, I remembered the show, and I just started digging around online and watching the old shows. And
core memory.
Yeah. So I was like, you know what? Maybe I need to start, you know, building the kits. And then I saw how tiny they are, and I was getting into cosplay. I'm like, maybe not.
Oh, yeah. So it's like the opposite of building a kit is building the costume.
Yeah, so that's when I decided to, you know, I think I'll just make the costume. So Gundam Wing was my first cosplay.
That's awesome.
My first Gundam cosplay.
Okay.
You've been into cosplay longer than, well, I guess technically officially Gundam, right?
Yeah, 2016, I didn't know. I used to work in the clubs in West Hollywood. And one of the clubs that I worked at doing the hosting for the VIP tables, we had a different theme every week. So we had to wear different costumes, different outfits, whatever. And I didn't know that that was called cosplay. When you're wearing a costume for play, that's cosplay.
So you were doing it without even realizing.
Yeah, I didn't know until a friend told me, you know, you should go to one of these conventions and wear your costumes. So that was 2016 at a Comic-Con Palm Springs.
Nice.
Yeah.
What was it that you were wearing?
In Comic-Con Palm Springs, I didn't do Gundam yet. My first Gundam was in 2019. But in Palm Springs, Psylocke from the X-Men movie.
That's awesome.
Love Betsy.
Now we're leaning towards X-Men now again.
Yeah. No, hey, actually, that's what's cool about the show is it might be called the Gundam Explained Show, but we talk about other things a lot, so.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
Okay. So then when you got and understood the cosplay thing, you were leaned into X-Men at that point? And that was what was more fun for you?
Initially, yes. But the group of cosplayers that I was hanging out with was more into anime. So that kind of, you know, got me to revisit my love for anime. And as much as I want to watch all these other anime shows, I was just gravitating towards mecha stuff.
Oh, that's cool.
What I wanted to make. And I saw Vampy Bit Me.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, I saw one of her Gundam cosplays. I think it was Unicorn.
Yeah.
And I thought, that's what I want to make. I don't want to make the kits. I want to make the cosplay. That's crazy.
No, that's pretty cool. So, but were you into anime like when you were younger? Because I know you were kind of bringing it up, but saying that you were kind of getting out of that phase.
Yeah, it wasn't. So back in the Philippines, because we're closer to, you know, Japan, it only took about a year or so before the shows were shown in the Philippines. But it wasn't as popular as it's here now. So back then, I remember the shows. I remember Sailor Moon. I remember all the other Japanese animes, but it wasn't hyped up like it is now. Yeah.
See, I was curious about that because, like, you know, can you kind of like take us back to the scene in the Philippines? Because Adam and I are constantly trying to like educate these younger kids, where it's like, you know. Like the hunt for anime VHS tapes in the 90s was so stressful for me. So I can't even imagine how difficult it was to like find the shows that you wanted to watch and things. So
yeah, we didn't even have VHS back then. It was the introduction of Beta.
Oh wow.
Yeah,
single
Beta. Yeah, the Beta and the old school TV show, and you watch it with the antenna on top of your roof. So
and if you miss it, you can't go back and watch it.
You can't. If you miss it, you miss it. But
kids these days don't understand how good they have it. Like, oh, I can just stream whatever I want on the internet. Like,
on their phone too. And back then, you know, you had to sit there in front of the TV and you have to have someone fix the antenna. That's how janky it was back then. But that was my introduction to anime, is through, you know, really struggling to watch the show.
Yeah. But when you came to the US, was it, were you still into anime, or was it was hard to come by? So you just kind of.
Yeah, it wasn't on my radar. So we moved to the US in 85, and in school, trying to be the cool kid in an American school, you don't admit that you watch any of these shows until you're home on the weekends. And so friends from church and, you know, a couple of friends from school, we'd talk about it, you know, when we used to have to dial to call them.
Yeah, it's funny because, you know, I've brought it up here before. I was never really into anime until I got into Gundam, which was recently, because the same thing growing up in schools here, I'm in Texas, not only would you not admit that you watch anime, but then I just even didn't bother with it.
And see, Adam was cooler than us. I was a bullied kid.
Cooler.
Just bullied, bullied.
No, but there was then the times where I remember a friend being like, hey, there's this thing, Dragon Ball, and they're going to have the Frieza saga on. You need to just at least watch that. And I was like, all right. And I think, I don't know if this was middle school, but then I watched it and I was like, okay, that was pretty good. But other than that, it was like Ninja Scroll, but it's great now. You kind of brought it up too with the internet. Mm-hmm. Like if you want to get back into something, yeah, I love how so easy it is. Like even not only did this help me, the internet helped me learn about Gundam, but X-Men recently. Then I went back and I could do Marvel Unlimited, so I could start reading the X-Men comics that I didn't understand in the 90s.
Yeah. The technology now has really helped bring us closer together, but also in some ways segregated us even more, because those who don't have access to technology have to rely to the old school stuff, which is anything pre-recorded or the comic books or the in-person activities where they have to go to comic book shops or any shops where they would have Gunpla building days or conventions. Some of them, their only way to connect with other fans is through conventions.
Yeah, that's true.
That can be intimidating.
What was that?
Well, I was gonna say that going to a convention or going to like a build night, like that can be intimidating. I mean,
yeah,
the first time I went to a convention, I was like, I can't handle this. Like, I'm such an imposter. Like, I don't belong here.
I was gonna ask that too. Like, when you then were getting into the cosplay scene and then back into like Gundam, was it pretty accepting? And like, because sometimes when you get into something, you never know what it's going to be like, especially online when you want to learn more. So then you're naturally connecting with people. Have you had a good experience overall?
Yeah, well, I was kind of spoiled because I came into the cosplay scene with some pretty popular cosplay friends who, you know, eventually they moved on to their own thing and I moved on to my thing. But my introduction to cosplay wasn't that hard. What was hard was navigating the crowd in these giant
literally cosplays. Walking through the
walking along the side of the wall, because as much as I wanted to keep it simple, there's no way you can keep Gundam simple. There's no way. No. You that's either go big it. Or not go at all.
Yeah. No, definitely. Yeah, people like the extra wings, weapons, whatever you could like throw on it, antennas.
Yep.
So I want to get into that. So I'm going to do this thing next. I am going to share my screen. Just to show off some pics, like obviously we're both in our X-Men era right now. And so I saw the Jubilee and I like the Jubilee character.
I thought this was awesome.
Thank you. Yeah,
this is cool. So like, and obviously the thing too about cosplay is getting creative with like, what's the character about? Jubilee can shoot fireworks. So how did you figure out to portray that?
So I also have some background in regular costuming for pageants and for shows, school plays, musicals, things like that. So there's different techniques that I learned. And one of them is creating a back piece to showcase either wings like they do in Carnival and Rio de Janeiro with
that's
the concept of it. Yes, okay.
So it comes from that is interesting.
Yeah,
that is cool.
Yeah, my wife is from Brazil, and so she's always showing me, you know, through the years, learned all the culture, like Carnival, always talking about it, how fancy they get with the dressing up and all that.
Yeah. That's my dream destination is to watch one of those.
Okay. That's cool. Well, I wonder, do you ever then go to like, I guess that it's like the same type of festival, but like a Mardi Gras type thing.
Yeah, but for different reasons.
Oh, okay. Yeah. There you go.
Not for this show.
Okay.
Fair. That's totally fair.
Yeah. No. This Jubilee is awesome, obviously. Okay. Let's move on to this one. Because this seems super elaborate.
Yeah.
Like in terms of like, I could just only imagine like you have to at one point, like plan it out and then test out that that works and then iterate on that and then do it multiple times.
Yeah. So I actually wrote notes about this one because I'm trying to remember how I came about the idea. So the first time, my first Gundam is Gundam Wing. What I learned from that is make the wings really, really light. Because the material, EVA foam, all of those ounces, layers of ounces, it's going to get heavy. So that wing, even though it was amazing with the PVC pipe harness and the layers of EVA foam, I think it came to around 12 pounds. So walking around with that, plus the, you know, corseted and the platform boots, it got really heavy. So then I saw Perfect Grade Pete's take on Strike Freedom, and the coloring that he used was grays, yellows, and oranges. So those were that's what inspired me. And I was like, how can I make this easy for me to walk around in? Something that I can put on myself and also travel with, because this one, you can't travel with this one. It just hid under my bed.
It's funny. It sounds like my wife is shopping for a purse and going through the same thought process.
It's a really long thinking process, and then you find a way to justify it. So you buy the purse or you don't. Yep.
Yeah.
So I bought the purse. I decided The lightest materials, and this is going to be helpful for cosplayers, is the lightest materials to use are foam core board. You know, what you use in grade school when you're doing the display thing?
Little presentations with the...
And a 99-cent store, when 99-cent store existed, would have those for just really a dollar each, so... and then the other piece is, how do I make the wings foldable? So for Strike Freedom, I developed a technique where you can fold it. It's like a pop-up book. It folds on one side, and then when you open it, the front side, it looks like because it's painted. And then on the back is you put through like popsicle sticks to secure it in place. So that's why the wings for that one, it's like almost 10 feet wide and 10 feet tall.
Do you usually have someone with you to kind of be the maintenance? Oh, really? So you are... dealing with
it was solo. Like,
so that's why, you know, I thought if I'm going to make a cosplay, I have to plan on putting it together and putting it on myself and taking it off. But fortunately, a lot of my friends that I see at convention, they just step up. Because they see that I'm struggling. Struggling. So they help. But the Strike Freedom one that you showed was at San Diego Comic-Con Special Edition. I started building that at the beginning of the pandemic because I had nothing else to do.
Oh, yeah. We were all just cooped up. Yeah. And
yeah.
So how long does one of these builds take?
The first one, Gundam Wing, took over 6 months with a few hours a week. And I actually had to stop right in the middle because I had to go on vacation in Barcelona and Ibiza. So I was like, I can put it aside. But because I've had that practice, Strike Freedom happened much faster, over 3 months. With a few months of planning in my head, how to fold the wings, the gun, which separates. There's a video of it where I separate the gun and then put it back together, and it's magnets.
Oh, wow. Oh, magnets?
Adam's favorite.
Magnets.
You just perked up when I said magnets. You're like, magnets?
They've solved so many problems for me lately. There's always something where it's keeping the curtains together or on our Gunpla. You know, there's always something. Pretty cool. Huh. So, yeah, magnets to put it together. So how long are you able to usually be in costume for a period of time?
Yeah, this one, the longest I went was almost 4 hours because it's light. The back piece, instead of like 12 pounds, it was maybe 4.
Oh,
and the lightest and biggest prop that I made is this double yellow rail gun that's like almost 9 feet long, and it only weighs less than about 5 pounds or less. Or is it? Yeah, 5 pounds, 5 pounds. There's a picture of it somewhere there, but it looks a lot heavier. The magic of foam core board.
Oh, yeah. Okay. That's cool.
I was going to say that foam core, and I guess the additional benefit is that because it has like the smooth outside, you don't have to like, you know, painting it and like.
Yeah. And so with Epion, what inspired me with that one is the whip, which is right here. Remember, there were these toys when we were kids that...
they were like a snake or something, maybe.
The snake one. So that was the idea for it. I had to make...
What material is that made of?
Guess. Foam core board.
Wow.
Foam core board and... the plastic is a flame designed backdrop for parties. And then I just painted over it. So it's the same technology. It's wood dowels to connect in between. And then I have the little wrist claw.
Oh, yeah.
So, you know, instead of the kits, I created the big ones for myself. The problem is, where do you store it?
Right.
Oh, my gosh. It's hilarious because we talk about that with little figures, but then having like a bunch of costumes.
So that's why I only have three.
Well, and it's so funny because like the engineering that you're using is basically the same thing that they use on the kits. Like if you were to take apart like the Gundam Epion kit, it's the same like... you know, basically like hinges to create that whip effect. So it's, I mean, do you think that you've drawn inspiration from like different things, or do you just kind of come up with it and say like, this is what works?
I like to say that art inspires art. So even the anime were inspired by something. The creation of the Gundams was inspired by something. So my first Gundam cosplay was inspired by the Gundam Wing Girl, which is for me, it's an art form. It's a piece of art. I wanted to look like the toy. That's what I wanted to be. And then Strike Freedom, I was inspired by the Strike Freedom Gunpla kit that was custom painted by Perfect Grade Pete. And then Epion was inspired by, I was browsing through Amazon. Amazon is the most terrible thing you could have on your
Yeah, it is.
For a variety of reasons.
For a variety of reasons. And I saw there was this really cheapy toy that was on sale. And the more I looked into it, the more I decided, I don't need to buy it. I can design this myself. I know enough about Gundam and building Gundams. I've seen how they move in the animation. What are the movements that I want to show in my cosplay? And so the first one is the whip. I wanted the whip to move. And I did it.
So then on Jubilee, what was your main thing here? What were you thinking was the main thing you wanted to portray?
The introduction in the anime.
Okay, that's why.
No, animation. Oh my gosh, I'm sorry. Cartoons, to be more exact. You know, when she goes like that and then her name pops up.
Yeah.
That's what I wanted, is to have that.
Okay, that makes sense. That's pretty cool. So let me look at, so then what was the thing you wanted to do here? Was it the kind of the transform or the moving around of the pieces?
The gun.
Yeah. Okay.
I've always had a fear of guns. There's some backstory to that too. I wanted something that I could play with. So I pushed myself with a Gundam wing gun. And then revisited that because Strike Freedom, that's one of the coolest props that I could make, is the gun that pulls apart and then comes back together. Yeah. So
That is cool.
Yeah.
I mean, any boy's dream and, any guy already thinks for 12.
And anyone can make it because it's, magnets.
Yeah. Magnets, of course. Okay. So let's see. There were some other ones. Like, this was cool. What did you want to portray here? Actually looking old? No, I'm joking.
Comfort. Oh, I wanted something.
To be easy to wear and comfortable to wear.
Yes. Once in a while, I get messages from my followers saying, you should do a Spider-Man thing. Spider-Man. So I made, what was the one that I made? Carnage Queen one time. Cool. Which was, it was okay. It wasn't. It didn't turn out the way I wanted. And then when I saw the movie, I was like, no one's going to expect this from me.
that's another reason why I picked it. I thought it was a cool, different style.
Yeah.
Awesome.
And it's so comfortable too, because, this is at my booth at LA Comic Con. I'm wearing the Philippine Airlines slippers and socks. Wow. I'm wearing a house dress and a sweater. Well, there's food in the basket too.
Oh, perfect. Like you're set up. It's like a picnic, just chilling.
Yes. Yeah, yeah.
Well, it's funny then that the next one I picked is probably the opposite.
Oh.
Which is cool. I don't know this character, but when I saw like the design versus what was actually made, I was like, that's awesome.
Yeah.
Especially the plushie down there at the.
Yes. Yeah. I made that one too. So,
Wow.
This is Rachel Summers. Now we're talking about X-Men. Rachel Summers is a Summers kid from another universe.
Mm-hmm.
There's a longer story to that one. And in one of her storylines, she became a war dog for the person that the character that owned her. And she had spikes and a spike tattooed on her face. And so this is for the Hellfire Gala, which lasted 3 issues in 3 years, designed by Russell Dodderman. And I wanted something, I wanted to revisit my sexy era. Because this is totally not me. This is not my personality, but part of cosplay is expressing your other sides that you don't get to express. And I wanted to challenge myself by not being able to breathe while I'm wearing it.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
Well, and this is funny because like I only just heard about like the Hellfire Gala when we were talking to
Kyle.
Yeah. I didn't know this was a thing.
I didn't know that either.
Oh, he's amazing. So cool. Oh my gosh. Yeah. Thank you, Kyle, for all the times that you filmed and took pictures of our cosplayers. It's the glamorous side of X-Men.
Yeah, I love it. Which such an awesome idea.
But it seems to be a thing with X-Men. I didn't realize as a kid is part of the point of X-Men is kind of that freedom of expression.
Yes.
And like how characters, part of their storylines are that. And yeah. I think it's really cool. And I think that's why X-Men's popular, because that inherently creates kind of individual people that you can connect with based on the story.
Yeah, which is not very different from Gundam. One of the biggest difference for me with Gundam is there's only a few main Gundam characters as opposed to the X-Men where there's a lot.
That's a good point, Drew.
Although
there is more.
Although with The Witch from Mercury, when I was watching the anime, it was a completely different experience watching that anime. I gravitated more towards one of the Earthian characters, which is Chuchu. because she's defending her friends, and I think you know that was a time when I felt the need. I need to defend other people. I need to be defended also. And that one scene where she just punched the other girl, I was like, yes. So I ended up cosplaying her instead of Ariel, because I thought it was more fun to make her. Yeah. So there's one there somewhere with a giant poofy.
Yeah, I'll have to check that out.
It's there somewhere.
Yeah. Yeah, when it comes to Witch for Mercury, would you say like that is a more interesting Gundam for you?
No, because I've seen the origins of Gundam. I've seen how deep the storylines and how very political the storylines were without really knowing it when I was a kid. Only when I started rewatching it in the last, you know, decade or so, that I started realizing, oh, that's what they were talking about. They were talking about the war here, the war there, the genocide, all the behind the scenes in government.
That's one of those like ties between like X-Men and Gundam, where it's like they're very.
Yeah.
Politically charged stories that, you know, maybe children don't necessarily understand it at first, but you know, when you get older, you can appreciate those themes.
Yeah. And it's not, and I wouldn't debate, but I would argue with people who are saying that the X-Men has become woke. It just means that they were not fans in the first place, because if they knew what X-Men stood for from its creation, it's actually civil rights movement. And Gundam is about the United Nations battle for leadership.
Yeah.
Basically. Yeah, so,
and know, kind of that industrial complex.
Yeah.
But, you know, good point on X-Men, because even I didn't realize how social justice-y it was, you know, even though I did, but I didn't, you know, like, and that's the thing. I think nowadays there's stuff where people are claiming something's being forced. So then it feels different, but yeah, X-Men was never forced. And even what they're doing with this new show is, to me, sometimes it seemed like, okay, they were way too on the nose about this, but then as I'm seeing it full unfold, they're doing that on purpose, because they're making the characters are making extreme choices that you don't normally see in shows on animation.
Right.
And then I'm like, okay, I see what they're doing here. They're kind of showing what everyone talks about or wants, what a follow through could be based on individual choices.
Yeah, and that's a big part of the power of social media. That's why some people are afraid of a social media company being more powerful at spreading information. Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm. You know, we're not getting paid to promote it or anything, but through social media, that's what I said earlier, is we're learning about these things that we didn't think of before, but also because we're older now. At least I can speak for myself.
I know. I think that's true. I mean, since having a kid and then, you know, learning how to, you know, live with a partner, and then you learn more about yourself through that. And then I've gone through so much self-discovery myself through, you know, meditation. I went on, you know, 10-day silent retreat, and I've done certain psychedelics to like therapy to try to figure things out. And I feel like, wow, this is a is it a completely different Adam from before? And it's like, not really, but maybe in small good areas. It's like, mm-hmm. how can I make sure that I'm not focusing on negativity? How can I be helpful in a situation?
Yeah. Incremental positivity.
Yeah. Yeah.
Wow.
But you know what? It's interesting too, because at the end of the day, we all like this stuff we liked as kids. And I think part of what we can do as adults is reframe our mind, not only like the stuff we liked as kids, but how innocent we thought about things as kids, because we didn't judge everything negative all the time. And I think we can go back to that like we do with our hobbies, you know?
Yes. Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Look at that growth, personal growth.
That's what I love about Stephen and I when we do these podcasts. We love getting philosophical. Like, you should check out some of his past episodes.
Yeah, it is like group therapy.
Yeah.
And you know what? I think that there's something to be said about that too, because when you think about how aging X-Men fans are starting to view current day X-Men, it's very similar to the kind of messaging you see in like the original 1979 Gundam, where it's like the younger characters have a much more nuanced and much more, I guess, worldly understanding of everything compared to their elders. And that's like one of the big themes that Tomino constantly brings up, is like, you know, the young are the future, and the young kids, like, they get it, and everyone who's old, you know, they're antiquated and they don't get it anymore. And you think about like when we were kids enjoying X-Men comic books and like the Spider-Man cartoon and the X-Men cartoon in the 90s, it was like none of us would have ever thought like, oh, you know what? Discriminating against the mutants, that's probably a pretty good idea. You know, like, we all kind of, it doesn't matter what race, what gender, anything, everyone identified with the mutants because everyone has been in that position of like being unwelcome in a space. And then as we've gotten older, it's like now we're starting to try and like justify the actions of like a General Striker type. And it's like, what? You know, this is like totally antithetical to what X-Men or even what Gundam is about.
Yeah. We didn't have the language back then to describe why we're really, how we're able to relate to these fandoms, to these shows. At first, I thought what I loved about Gundam was the escape, being out there in space, because I also love Star Wars. I saw the first Star Wars movie in the theater when it was released in the Philippines. And I didn't understand why I was drawn to it. And now I have the language. One is escapism, to escape the reality that you're in, but also is thinking of positive thinking, visionary, being seeing what's possible out there. We're not limited to, I talked a little bit about travel earlier, but we're not limited to the boxes that we're in. We're limited by the money to get out of those boxes.
True.
But to get out of those boxes is, what do we put our energies into? So a lot of these shows, a lot of these animes touch on, that's why some of the society showed are suffering is because money. They're being suppressed and repressed by whoever is ruling over them. And that's why the battle happens.
Good point. Deep. That's good. That's what we do here.
Exactly.
Yeah. Well, you know, speaking of deep, real quick, and I don't know how deep this is going to get. I wanted to talk about the Seed Freedom movie, just give my impressions real quick.
Yeah.
Jordan, have you ever seen Gundam Seed?
That I don't think so. The anime, I think so. Because
that one started in the 2000s.
Okay.
And it had Seed Destiny. And for me, and people on the channel know this, like, I don't really care for Gundam Seed that much. Like, I saw it and I was like, it reminds me of what, when I was in school, why people didn't like anime. It was that sort of thing. But then I watched the follow-up series just to give it a try, and I liked it. Because I felt like it kind of went more like what we were just talking about just now. Like, the themes, I felt like, are a little more integrated into the story better. So then I didn't know what to expect from this movie, but it was cool that we get a Gundam movie in theaters, you know, even though it's, you know, the anime. And so I can't wait for the live action movie, by the way. I don't know if we're going to get news on that soon, but anyway. So to be honest, I really liked the movie. It was fast paced. Mm-hmm. Like, I feel like every 5 seconds, it was a new shot with a title card because they were at a new location. Like, so-and-so's room, or this country, or now this country. And it, so it was, like, fast-paced, and it did the thing where, you know, it's animation, but the mobile suits are CGI, you know, but they're CG, but it still looked really good, and even to where they had long shots where it looked like they choreographed, like, martial arts moves to happen. You know, as for story, it's pretty basic because it has the thing where it's like, okay, these are the bad guys now. Mm-hmm. and like, they wanted to kill everyone. And then the other story too, that I think was, I guess the more important story was, it was like the love story. But I think I've been thinking about it since I saw it last night. I think they did a good job with the love story, even though you wouldn't think that's what it's about.
But
as I'm watching, I'm like, oh, it's really a love story, you know, of the main characters. Because from the other Seed, it's the character Kira in Lacus. Uh-huh. Or Lacus, because I saw the dub and they were saying names differently, and I didn't know what to make of it.
Well, like Kyle would say, maybe that's correct, and maybe we're all just being, you know.
Oh, that's right. He had a good explanation for the
different names. I love the idea that, you know, all of these Gundam names, it's like, you know, it's a translation of a translation of a mistranslation.
Yes. Yeah.
Well, so Jordan, when you would watch anime, then do you prefer dub or sub?
I knew this was going to come up.
I think we're all pretty cool with. There's only one answer. No, I'm joking.
When I started, we didn't have a choice.
Most of the time, you can now. Yeah.
It was in Japanese, and we didn't know. And there were some really poor translations. And then when I started revisiting, it was a cool thing to watch it in Japanese and read the subtitles. That was a cool thing to do.
Yeah.
But then when you don't have enough time anymore, you watch then you watch it dubbed.
Okay.
There's no reason for it. I can justify it.
No. It's
a debate that we have pretty frequently, and, you know, we have our own opinions for sure.
Yeah, like I've mentioned this before. Like, when I was in, like, high school, I was a big film snob. Like, I only watched foreign films, and I would only watch them with subtitles. You know, but over time, something I realized was, If I'm reading subtitles, I'm not watching the visuals, especially if it's a visual based thing. And then I realized, you know what? I prefer dubs, because in Gundam, I want to watch the animation work of these mobile suits. They're really cool looking. I want to be able to focus in on that animation. Or, and something Stevens taught me, like in the original Gundam shows, they really take their time. Sometimes we're showing or animating something that you don't know what it means. And they're not saying anything, but it's almost like the visual storytelling. And you miss that with subtitles.
One of my biggest things about, like, younger audiences is that basically, you know, you see kids watching shows these days and they're, like, buried in their phones and they're just kind of, like, loosely listening to it and not really actively consuming the content that they're supposed to be enjoying. And so you miss a lot of the, like, kind of subtle, you know, character plays that I think yeah, you know, I would say if I had to rank it, and I think we did this with Kyle, was like, if you can learn Japanese and watch it in Japanese, that's the best way to watch.
Yeah,
and then dubbed, because then it's like, okay, at least it's, you know, in a language that you're following, mm-hmm. that you can understand, and then subtitled, even if the dubs are very poorly done.
Yeah, because sometimes the subtitle, even though you're reading what is being translated, sometimes it's the actions or the way in which it's acted, even if the acting is not good, a lot of times that voice actor is kind of given a certain direction of how to portray that. And I think,
there was a Tom Scott video I watched recently about subtitles, and this isn't this isn't like translated subtitles. This is only for like English for the hard of hearing, like captions.
Oh, and it's different. It's so different.
It is, but you know, even with like English to English like captions on subtitles, they will like remove words because it's like, mm-hmm. we know that you can't read as fast as you can understand what they're saying. So if we can communicate the meaning roughly without saying exactly what the character's saying, then mm-hmm. we're just going to put in like the fewest amount of words possible. And I even noticed that watching some shows the other night, I was like, that's not what they just said.
I think one of the Gundam series on Netflix do that. And it might even be Hathaway that does that, because I remember seeing that and I'm like, and it's like, what's going on here? And so I wonder if, because it seems like when it comes to like voiceover work or localization, it seems like that's a weird industry where they want to like pay little or something. So I wonder if it's like, oh, we'll have these people do subtitles because we can get it for this amount. We'll have them do the voice work. We can get it for that amount. Yeah. I don't know.
And that's funny you mentioned that, because that was one of the situations with getting the first X-Men series going with the voice of Rogue. They had to go through a Canadian talent agency for different rights and budget, I guess. So the majority of the voice people were Canadians. And they did a great job. So you're right. You know,
I don't remember any Aboots in that.
Yeah, they were pretty good. So it's not just the translation piece, because like what you said, is it gets lost from Japanese to English and then into the captioning. It's also the tone and the energy that they put in. That's voice acting, and that's why they were powerful in the first place. But sometimes I do get lazy reading, so you know, it's just easier, you know, to. Oh, also, you mentioned this. They're not paying attention to what they're watching because they're spoiled by the fact that they can rewatch it.
Yeah,
true.
If they could rewatch it, they would be more attention.
That's one of my big things about, especially like that 1979 Gundam, is that, you know, people feel like they can always just go back and rewatch it. And I'm like, just put yourself in the shoes of a Japanese kid in like May of 1979. And it's like, you know that you're only going to get this one shot. And it's like, you've probably got your parents screaming in the background and you're just like, just let me watch my show.
Yeah, that, you know what, that is a really good point. Like I thought, they don't, you know, they could just watch it again whenever they want, but really thinking deeper, it's mm-hmm. like we were talking about with the TV, where we know, like, once it played, then it was gone for we don't know how long.
Right.
And then it's like, the kids don't even have to worry about that. You know, that's interesting.
And that's Jordan, do you binge, or do you like to like space out your episode watching?
Good question. That's the real question here.
Yeah. Binging, I feel like if you like binge an entire series, you know.
So if I have a choice to watch everything at one time, I will. But I'll use X-Men 97 as an example. You don't have a choice. I wouldn't wait. I wouldn't wait until everything is available, because it's one of those things. There's some shows that you're okay to wait to mm-hmm. watch, because then you're going to be watching it at the same time as everybody else. Yeah. As opposed to some shows, like now I'm thinking, what were the Gundam animes that I watched and binged? It's the ones that I didn't have a choice to watch real time versus on recording.
Yeah.
That's how I decided. I didn't have a choice.
Yeah.
Yeah, I like the forced episodic nature of X-Men 97, because I think about it
with friends.
Yeah.
Like, oh my gosh, did you see this part? And you're like, oh no, I missed that.
Yeah. Like, so smart of them to do that.
And that's a big part of its success also, is because the, let's call them the boomers, the boomer fans and the Gen X fans, it got big really fast on Facebook, because that's where the older generation are.
Oh,
and then it trickled to Instagram and TikTok. By the time it reached TikTok, it just went viral right away. And this also talks about how this generation's the way they receive information, if it's short, they'll most likely pay attention to it. That's why certain topics are better presented in short format than in longer format. And that's why the shows are 22, 25 minutes, the X-Men episodes, as opposed to a full on 30.
Which is funny, because like, I know that there were people complaining about that, because they were like, well, you're stealing away 8 minutes of my X-Men. And it's like, no, I mean, when you were like in the 90s, it would only be 22 minutes. It was just interrupted with commercials. Like,
Yes.
So that's right. They had the full length. Yeah. That is cool. Yeah. But Steven, you didn't answer. Do you binge?
No, I don't have a choice about binging or not. It's like,
when you have a partner. I know what you mean. Oh my gosh. We went through what, like, I was watching Columbo like slowly. And then as soon as I showed my wife, she was like, I need this every night.
But yeah, that's the thing is like, even like before I was married, this is such a funny story, is like, you know, I grew up with brothers, and I was always really close with my brother-in-law. My sister's 10 years older than me. So my brother-in-law is 10 years older than me. And so he was like hanging out with me and my older and younger brother all the time. And we would do this thing where we would play through like narrative video games at night. Mm-hmm. And I remember distinctly, there was one night we were playing, I was probably like, you know, Drake's Uncharted or whatever. And my brother-in-law was getting ready to go to bed, and he was like, all right, guys, like, turn it off. And we're like, what? We're not going to bed. And he's like, yeah, but like, I don't want to miss out on the story, so like, turn it off. Like, all right. So I guess we're like, we all have to wait till tomorrow to.
Yes.
Oh, wait, that's, yeah. Jordan, do you ever play video games?
I've tried. My most serious effort was with Monster Hunter.
Oh.
Also because of my influences, my friends at the time, which inspired me to make my Monster Hunter Kul'Tareth armor, which is a showstopper. Oh my gosh. somewhere.
Monster Hunter fans are rabid. Like,
and that's another reason why I tried to play the game, is because I was told that I was going to get drilled on why I wanted to make that cosplay. And they don't care. They're just amazed by the magnificence of the cosplay that I made. And then I left.
No, only Gundam fans are that much of bullies. That would be like, like, Monster Hunter fans are just like, we love that you're cosplaying as Monster Hunter. If you're cosplaying as a Gundam, they're like, well, what's your favorite Gundam series and why is it Gundam
Seed? Like, so that's why my cosplays have the ear covers.
Oh, like, smart. Oh, there you go.
I can't hear.
I love it.
Well, cool. Well, yeah, you know what? Yeah, it's about the end of the show anyway. I mean, this was a great discussion. lots of cool insight on the building of the cosplay, because I think I'm glad you brought it up. It's like similar to the Gunpla. You just wanted a different version of that. And I think that's pretty cool. Well, cool. Well, yeah, everyone that's watching, check the links in the description for Jordan's stuff. Anything you've got going on, any conventions coming up you plan to go to?
Yeah, San Diego Comic-Con, I will be there.
Convention. I don't think anyone.
Are you guys going?
I would love to, but it's just so hard to make it to conventions outside of Texas.
Oh, that's right. But yeah, I'm still debating if I'm going to bring Epion, because the wings are like giant.
Wow.
Now, are you doing a single day, or are you going like a 3-day pass?
I'm doing the 4 days.
Oh.
Because I'm extra, and it's just, I was going to say down the street, but it's not. It's like 2 hours from me.
That's awesome. Yeah, I'd go totally.
Yeah, we got the tickets and we got lucky with a room, so it's happening.
Awesome.
So you were just talking about you might bring the Epion, but have you, is there like a definite costume you've already thought of yet, or are you still in that phase?
No, I'm still in that phase. Cosplayers like to plan last minute, even though we have all these projects ongoing, because I'm a little bit distracted. The other thing that I'm going to is the Uncanny Experience, which is the immersive X-Men convention in Minneapolis in September.
Oh man, wow. Did they like round everybody up and tattoo M's on their eyes?
So
yeah, I need to look that up.
Yeah, it's in Minneapolis. It's going to be held at the Minneapolis Social Club, which looks like Xavier's mansion. And so last year was the freshman year. Amazing. And then my mind is already also at Star Wars Japan Celebration.
Oh, that's awesome.
Yeah, I saved my money in 2025 in May. Oh. I'm throwing a bunch of my money in that one. Well, credit.
Oh, that's a good idea. That's
we're all living on credit right now.
But you know what? We barely talked about Star Wars really, and like I'm a big fan. Although I feel like some like the Obi-Wan show, the Boba Fett show, kind of got me. But the idea of celebrating Star Wars in Japan sounds completely badass. Like that,
And only I wish they were keeping the Gundam statue.
Oh, that's right. Yeah,
longer, but it's going to be May next year. No, April next year. And I think when is the last time? I think March.
I mean, they already took down the
Yokohama.
Yeah, the Yokohama. Oh. So.
Yeah. So who knows? Who knows? Maybe
you might have another one being built. Yeah.
Yeah, so
you know the U.S. needs one. Like,
I know.
China got the Freedom Gundam.
Virginia needs one.
There you go.
Give us the Gundam Maxter or something.
Where would be the ideal place to build a giant Gundam?
Oh, that's a good question.
Well, I mean, you would think maybe DC, but then if you think about it, there are other landmarks. Around
everything's bigger in Texas, so like
okay,
you gotta have the big Texas.
There'd be enough room for it.
Yeah, but would Texas accept Japan?
Yeah, if they put enough guns on it,
Adam yet.
If they put enough guns on it, they would accept. If it was heavy arms,
yeah,
I think
Gundam.
Texas
yes, there you go.
All right, well. That's it. That was a lot of fun. I really appreciate you being on. This was enjoyable. Totally.
Thanks for having me.
Yeah. No, anytime. So, yeah, thanks for all watching. Yeah, again, check the links in the description, and we will talk later. See y'all.